I walked into Schembechler Hall the other morning, and I was all set to interview Coach Don Brown. And as the coaches rolled in, I was talking to them, just greeting them in the morning, and one of them asked me what I was doing, and they said, hey, I'm here to talk to Coach Don Brown. He's going to be on the podcast this week. And one of the guys said, hey, don't let him intimidate you. And I got to thinking, there's kind of a fine line between intimidation and ultimate respect. And what Don Brown has done over his career, he's always done it the right way. There was a saying that I've heard, and I heard it first from Coach Mulder. He said, what you do speaks so well, there's no need to hear what you say. And I attribute that to Coach Brown in that when I ask him questions, there's an amount of respect because of how he's done his business, how he goes about his job. He lets his players do the talking for him. And he doesn't have to come out and make bold statements. He doesn't have to make predictions. When you allow what you do to talk for you, there is a immense amount of respect that people have for you. I'm John Jansen, and this is In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
You got to leave a little meat on the bone for your compadre to go ahead and take a bite.
You know, everybody goes, well, you know, is he big enough to take on blocks? Try blocking them.
Yeah. It's a tough defense, and I think they're going to be top three again this season.
There's a lot of things that I call them off the air, but I can't say any of those.
Keep the foot on the gas. It's the only way I know how to do it.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Folks, we got a loaded show coming up. We'll get to Don Brown in just a little bit. We've got Mike McCray on his playing days and now as a coach. We've got Braylon Edwards, Michigan legend. But before we get to that, I want to take a moment to thank today's presenting sponsor, Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Our friends at Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical have been serving Southeast Michigan for more than 50 years. They have three locations, Garden City, White Lake, and Madison Heights. George Klempert and his experienced staff of professionals work with each and every client to provide the best possible service. The thing I like most about Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical is that they have done thousands of service calls and hundreds of installations over the years, and they use that knowledge to recommend the brand that works best for your home. They won't sell you something you don't want or don't need. Like I said, they have three locations to serve you. Check out their website, familyheating.com, or give them a call at 734-422-8080. Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Family is not just their name. It's how they do business. And tell them John Jansen sent you. Here's Coach Don Brown. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning.
Great to be here.
Yesterday out at practice, I was about to walk off the field. All of a sudden, I see you guys line up for the Oklahoma drill. That has always excited me to see a guy in a matchup, one-on-one matchup. There's no excuses. It's head-to-head. How do you view that drill, along with followed by the 9-on-7 after that? It seems like that's something that is ingrained in training camp and part of just the development of football.
Yeah, and you know, Coach Harbaugh believes in the physicality in the game of football. And obviously, that's his way of sending a message to our football team on both sides of the ball that, hey, our pads are on. It's time to get physical. Let's get to work.
When you get to this time of the year, you know, off season, you got recruiting, you got winter conditioning, summer, spring, all that stuff. What excites you about getting to this time of the season?
Well, with all the demands in recruiting, camp, running camps, the amount of time that you spend actually practicing your craft in the game of football is so limited. It's just great when you get to the period of time where when you're focused on your craft. And I'm sure every coach believes the same way that I do. This is the time of year we really look forward to.
You know, you talk about practicing your craft, and I noticed out there the last few days when I watch Rashawn Gary, I watch Chase, I watch Devin. They're practicing with a purpose, and it's every rep that they're out there. They're trying to improve, or they're doing something different, trying to explore new things. Is that an accurate observation?
You are right on. Some guys just try to make it through camp, and some some guys use camp as a vehicle for their success, and those guys definitely in the latter category. They come out with a purpose. They take their craft extremely, you know, they're extremely viable in their craft, and every rep counts. The nice thing is when your best players act that way,
right?
Everybody else kind of gets in line. So it, from a leadership standpoint, you know, it's nice to talk, but everybody talks. But leadership by example and through the way they go about doing their business is more important.
Yeah, the one thing that used to disgust me as a player was a players only meeting where guys got up and started talking, and I wanted to see it more on the field. What's your assessment so far? Of we've only been into it for a short period of time, but where is the defense at, and in your estimation, and where do you want them to get to?
Well, we've got about, I would say, 16 or 17 guys that if the ball got snapped tomorrow, we'd go out there and put them on the field, and they'll go out and function at a high level and be able to grasp concept. And you know, we're big believers in more is more. But they can differentiate concept, go out, function, line up, communicate with one another, and play at a high level. So what you're trying to do during this preseason period, it's really get more guys into that core, mm-hmm. and get as many guys into that core that you trust on the field.
And when you talk about guys into that core, you're obviously only replacing a couple of starters this year. And I know it's last year the big concern was you had to replace 9 of 11 starters, but you rotate guys in so much, it's not like bringing in new guys. When you replace a guy like Mo Hurst, Aubrey Solomon's gotten reps, Michael Dwanfor's been in there. Who fills that inside of the D-line position?
You just hit the two main guys. Obviously, from a role model standpoint, Mo Hurst was a tremendous player, a tremendous leader, and you know, those guys were able to kind of learn from him. But you know, you picked up on a very important piece. We play so many different packages during the course of a game. Mm-hmm. It enables you, for example, with a guy like Mike Dwanfor or Aubrey. They may not know the whole defense, but you can put them in and let them play in packages to develop confidence as young players. So this transition from part-time to full-time, you know, isn't a drastic one.
When you start to develop that depth, and when I look at your team, you've got it seems like there's great speed and great depth. And as those young guys develop it, like you talked about, that creates your depth. When people talk about the speed of your defense, is that simply guys are just physically faster, or is it a recognition and processing?
I think it's both. Mm-hmm. With 3 years in, I remember in 2016, which was an outstanding defense, really everybody was learning. There was nobody that was comfortable. Now, football's football, so there's a degree of that those guys could at least function because they played the game of football, and it eventually, at the end of the day, it comes down to your one-on-one matchups. So that kind of helps you. But when you have now not one group, not two groups, and in our case, three groups, and a lot of young players have played, you know, there's guys that can role model for the young guys that make it easier for the incoming freshmen that are going through bridge and everything else to learn the defense.
And, you know, you mentioned the one-on-one matchups, and, you know, there's always, you know, offensive tackle, defensive end, and running back and linebacker. But I think in your defense, one of the most visible matchups is the amount of man coverage that you play in the secondary. Talk to us just a little bit about where the secondary is right now and some of those matchups that you see coming this season.
Yeah, we're really happy with the three corner upper level corners. In fact, Coach kind of highlighted that the other day. Lavert Hill, David Long, Brandon Watson are really playing really well. They have technique. They have fundamentals. They trust their craft. They trust their toolbox. to get, you know, they do a great job of getting their hands on. They do a great job of communicating. But it's not only those three guys. You know, Tyreek Hill's kicked out with a really great start, but he's really picked up where he left off from spring. Josh Metellus, you know, in the same boat. The guy that I would say in that back end, Ambry Thomas has jumped into the mix at corner, and this young Jalen Kelly-Powell has some talent, and it's starting to show through. I think he's playing fast, and I think that comes with, as we're talking about, concept recognition, getting comfortable in his own skin, and you know, those two traits translating to him playing the way we knew he could play.
Now, you mentioned Watson, and you know, he's a fifth year guy, and we've kind of watched him throughout his career, and always hoped he's going to take that next step. When the light bulb comes on for a guy like that, how gratifying is it as a coach to see that happen?
Well, you know, it is gratifying. We thought he played pretty solidly last fall, but he's taken that game from wherever he was to another level, which is great. And LeVert and David just keep getting better and better. And, you know, we're really happy with the growth and development we have at safety.
And I know you've talked a lot about Devin Bush, but
special guy now.
He is, and I know Coach used this description with Jabril Peppers a couple years ago, where a guy's just really good at football. And Devin Bush, people will say, well, he's too small, he's to play that middle linebacker position. I don't think size matters when you got a guy that's just good at football.
He's good at football. No, you hit it on the head, and you know, he's really playing fast. You know, everybody goes, well, you know, is he big enough to take on blocks? Try blocking him.
Yeah.
you know, that's really what it comes down to. Yeah, okay. You get him into a 600-pound mesh, maybe he's not great. But he's never in it. So, you know, he'll take the chips off. You know, when there's a scoop block and it's a two-on-one on a three-tech, he's in the A-gap as faster than you can blink. And I thought Jordan Anthony had his best day at middle linebacker yesterday. And just think how nice it is for Jordan Anthony to watch that guy play on a down-to-down basis, and actually made a Devin Bush-like play yesterday. So, you know, his leadership, you know, I coach him specifically in the room, what he brings to the table in our linebacker room, in our defense. Can't say enough good things about that young man.
Now, you got a guy playing that Viper position in Kalik Hudson. I know you've got a lot of other guys that can step into that role, but if you were talking to somebody that didn't know much about football, what would you tell them when you look for a guy that fills that Viper spot? What are some of the traits they have to have?
Well, you know, he has to be a safety by nature, unless he was you know, just an outside linebacker in a high school scheme that played in space all the time. But he's a safety by nature, as Jabril was. He has coverage skills. Now, Jabril, we used to play a lot more on slot receivers and so forth. You know, we've kind of narrowed it down for him, so he covers tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
He'll play in the box some as a linebacker, and he's up to 220 pounds. But, man, can this guy pressure the quarterback. And he has an uncanny ability to be able to disguise, move and groove, and get where he's got to go. There's a couple pressures that I can think of from spring going into the fall. And there was one just the other day. It's just like, wow, how do you sort that out? And, you know, it's just nice to watch his development and where he's come from and where he is today.
You lost a linebacker in Mike McCray. Who has, in your opinion, stepped in, maybe one or two of the guys, into his role?
Devin Gill, Josh Ross, you know, they're, as Coach refers to, they're in a cage match fight right now. you know, the reality is I'm looking for one, you see if one of those guys will step up and run away from the other. If that occurs, so be it. If they both continue to function at a quality level, we'll let them both play and let it all sort out. So, you know, those are the two guys. Now, Drew Singleton starting to figure it out as well. Those three guys, I would say, are vying for Will linebacker time. If you ask me to give you know, who's got the advantage, I really don't have an answer yet.
Yeah, and you know, you described all of these positions, and when you go down the depth, you're talking two, three deep, and more is really more.
More is more. And there's no question, and it's nice when my first spring. I remember going, you know, coming in and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to sort stuff out and I'm asking one of the graduate assistants, I'm like, where's this Des Morgan? You know, I watched him a little bit during bowl prep. Yeah, coach, he's gone. Where's Joe Bolt? He's gone. So where's this Ross kid? He's a big he's gone. So, you know. We found a way to get Pep to, transform him into an outside linebacker, a hybrid linebacker. Ben Gideon, who was a backup, who, by the way, is really off to a tremendous start in the NFL, became the Mike. And Mike McCray became the Will, and we had a young Devin Bush behind Mike. Took Mike Robleski, who was a walk-on, and made him the backup Mike. So now, you know, we're sitting there with six guys that the Mike Will all can play, all are talented guys. Cam McGrone, obviously, is the true freshman of the bunch, and he'll have a ways to go. And, Khalik Hudson and Glass are manning the Viper position, and we're getting really good play out of Glasgow, and he's a tough guy. He has a lot of the similar traits that Khalik has, maybe not as flashy, but equally as effective at times.
And you mentioned, some of these guys that are having Ben Gideon having a great start to an NFL career. Do you get a chance? I know there's a lot of responsibilities and time commitment here, but do you get a chance to follow those guys much in the fall in their NFL careers?
No, really don't. I mean, occasionally, if it times up right, you might catch a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Or you get home and they're playing in the Sunday night game. You may catch a half a quarter or something. Now the guys have been good about highlighting some of the video guys, highlighting some of the Michigan guys that are playing in the NFL. So you might catch a highlight clip here and there. But reality is, they got a job to do, and so do I.
I want to go back to a little bit of your coaching past. You were in the Northeast for the majority of your coaching career. And I guess what I want to know is this the brand of defense that you coach and the solve your problems with aggression? Is that how they play football in the Northeast? Because if it is, I want to see more of it. It's exciting.
It started around 2000 for me. And everybody has their own way of doing it. Some people, it was a Jerry last 2 years ago or something said, oh, high risk, high reward. I don't see it that way. There isn't a pressure that's not run at least 50 to 100 times. Either in spring or fall. Mm-hmm. We don't just throw stuff against the wall. But it is pressure-based. We want the quarterback to feel us. We want to have the opportunity to dictate tempo. It's really an evolving deal for us. I mean, we never stand pat. We're always moving in terms of changing the scheme to some degree, but the basic elements are there and the basic traits are there, and that's what it's all about. You got to stand for something.
And, you know, I brought up your quote of solve your problems with aggression. I saw in your coaching tenure, you had a year as a baseball coach.
Yep.
Does that philosophy hold true for baseball players as well?
I think so. In the game, you know, you can force issues when you're on the offensive attack, you know, bunt rotations and bunts. First and thirds are great situations to move your runners, move that runner off of first base in several different fashions to try to steal a run. I've always been on that cusp. Is you want to make people do things that are uncomfortable, and if they're not handling their business on first and third defenses, you can take advantage of them in those scenarios. That's kind of the way I like to do it. In baseball, it's more station to station.
Yeah.
You know, get the guy from first. Well, get him the second. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to steal him. I'm going to bunt him. I'm going to let the number three hitter in the lineup, you know, try to hit a gap shot. Those kinds of things. Keep the foot on the gas. It's the only way in how to do it.
Are you a baseball fan?
Love it. Red Sox fan. They're out of control right now.
Well, Coach, last thing I want to ask you. You've set an unbelievably high standard, not just here at Michigan, but in your whole coaching career for what you do on defense. How do you see this 2018 team stacking up to that standard?
This could be as good a group as I've ever been around. I'm anxious every day when we go to work. There are certain snaps I stand behind, or you know, I'm watching, and guys are executing at a high level, and it's fast, and you know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the key is getting everybody to function as one, and at the same time, getting everybody to execute. It's nice to be aggressive. It's nice to talk about all those deals, but it's even a more important because instead of playing gaps like some teams do, they'll rush their four and they'll play their gaps. We're blitzing those gaps,
mm-hmm.
And then fitting the coverage in behind it in one of three to four different support systems. So, you know, there's some, obviously, there's a lot of work that goes into getting those things right. I've got a great bunch of young people that I'm working with on a daily basis. I've got great coaches that I work with on a daily basis. And life is good in Ann Arbor.
Well, Coach, I appreciate it. I'll let you get back to work. And thanks for joining us.
All righty. Always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks again to Coach Brown. Now I'd like to bring in Brian Bush and talk a little bit more Michigan football.
Indeed, JJ. A lot of sound to get to. First things first, though, John. Don Brown, I mean, he's awesome. And you know what? He says this about a lot of players, but I think after that interview, let's describe Don Brown on how he describes some of those big-time defensive players he has.
He's a dude. He's a flat-out dude.
Don Brown's a dude, isn't he?
Don Brown is a dude. And that, you know what? When you talk to Don Brown, you get his personality, you get everything that he believes in, all in a conversation. And when he calls a guy a dude, that's like winning an award. When you come in on Monday and you're the dude of the day, it's probably the greatest award that you can get during the season, because it's so much fun and it means so much coming from Coach Brown.
He's a dude. He's a flat out dude.
No doubt about it, Coach Brown. Mike McCray was a dude during his time with the Wolverines on the field. He talked about his relationship with Don Brown, player to coach.
In my eyes, he is one of the best teachers, and for me, one of the best, probably the best coach I ever had, you know. And the way he teaches, he's in tune, and he teaches in different ways so that everybody doesn't learn the same. So he makes sure that he teaches in different ways, and I feel like that helps the whole team as a whole.
I love watching the players come to the sideline during the game. When they come to the sideline, good or bad, Don Brown is always the same. He's never screaming or shouting. He may be encouraging some guys, but when they sit down, he's got his dry erase board, he's got his notes, and he is already talking to guys, teaching them, hey, how, when we go back out there, this is the look you're going to see, this is how we handle it. In-game transitions. I don't think there's anybody better than Coach Brown, because they come to the sideline, they get coached up, they get taught on what the schemes were, what they saw out there, and they go back out there and they're able to execute. And I think the sign of a great teacher is the ability to transfer that knowledge to another person so that they understand it and can go out and utilize that information. Nobody better at it than Coach Don Brown.
And speaking of transitions, now Mike McCray is on Don Brown's staff, and he discussed now how the relationship is different, or in most cases the same.
For me, I just don't want to mess up so I don't get cussed out, but it's about the same. You know, we built a great relationship once we first got here 2 years ago, and it's continued to today. So came in comfortable, and he's comfortable with me being around. He trusts me with talking to the guys around here, and I'm excited to see what the season brings.
Mike takes it the same way as he did as a player. You don't want to let your buddy down. Now that he's one of the assistant coaches and he's coaching with Don Brown, when a guy does everything to the level that Don Brown does, you want to make sure that you match that and you never let him down. And that's where the excellence comes from, and that's where I see this defense and why they've been so good over the last couple of years.
Speaking of excellence, Braylon Edwards, now of Big Ten Network, was in town this week to stop by Michigan camp. And of course, the big talking point around Michigan camp, the quarterback situation, and Edwards weighed in.
What I say is, out of Brandon Peters as well as Dylan McCaffrey, I see they've taken steps to get better. Like, I've seen it. I don't know if that's because Shea Patterson's here and Joe Milton is here as well, but the quarterback position looks a little bit more efficient. Like, Shea's in there when he's doing his drops, his individual routes or individual drills, I should say. I see an efficiency. I see Joe Milton's he's a stud, but he's young. So, once again, I think they're headed in the right direction. You got McElwain in there. You got Pep. You got a lot of people that can get these guys moving. I'm excited.
With the excitement of who's going to be the starting quarterback, it really doesn't matter, because competition breeds success. When you bring a guy like Shea Patterson, who has experience, has had some success, and you put him in there with Brandon Peters, Dylan McCaffrey, Joe Milton, who's bringing his own flair as a freshman, it's just going to force those guys to continue to get better and better. And so no matter who is out there, or if it's a combination of guys, they're going to go out there and perform better.
Now, if John Jansen was asked, well, what's the one thing that can help a quarterback succeed? What unit has to be great? You would say?
The offensive line. You got to have time. You got to have comfort.
But Braylon Edwards, he might disagree, right?
I don't know. I think he thinks that, you know, as long as I'm out there and I'm wearing the number one jersey, you can just throw me the ball and I'm going to make something happen. So, the more guys we can get with that attitude, the better off we're going to be.
Well, and Braylon weighed in on some of those guys who wear those low numbers, the receiver numbers, his thoughts on Michigan's receiving core.
I like the hire of Roy Roundtree, and I like Coach McElwain being there, because I'm seeing a little bit more better route running. I'm seeing fundamentals better. I'm seeing them not round their routes at the top of the break. So I'm seeing a better group than I saw last year. I see they're getting a little older, so they're more experienced. So I'm excited. You get Tariq back. You get Peoples Jones, that's 2 years in now. Nico Collins is a sleeper that I'll be watching for this year. And you get Grant Perry, who's the leader on that side. So I like what they can do this year.
Yeah, I'm excited about that group as well. And he named a number of guys. And I think the one thing that Braylon touched on that's really going to help this unit out is just that year of experience. When you come in as a freshman, it's tough to go in and excel at any position. But as a receiver, Tariq Black did probably the best job in the first four games. But then he got hurt. Donovan Peoples-Jones had moments where he would get free, but he needed to get off the line of scrimmage. Another year in the weight room, another year working with Coach McElwain now, who is the receivers coach, Nico Collins, Grant Perry. We've got a great group of receivers that now have a little experience under their belt. I'm excited to see what this group can do.
And Braylon Edwards is a guy who, obviously, is a receiver. He can digest what a defense brings to the table. Of course, Michigan's defense, many believe, can be the best in the nation, and Braylon, he certainly agrees with that.
They've gotten better in the coverage game. Last year, there were some open spots for teams to go out on the outside and make some plays. This year, I'm seeing them stand in the hip pocket. I'm seeing real good hand placement at the line of scrimmage. it's a tough defense. And then Khalid Hudson is built like a brick. I mean, him and Devin Bush, you can't tell who's a linebacker, who's a safety. So it's a tough defense, and I think they're going to be top three again this season.
When you talk about the defense, and he talked about a little bit of the holes that maybe they had last year, but when you look at Josh Metellus and the offseason that he's had, Tyreek Kinnell, all of those guys in the middle of that secondary are much improved. Again, the experience. Last year, we replaced 9 of 11 starters on defense, almost the whole secondary. Now, all of a sudden, you get that year under your belt, and it's just going to be better and better for a defense that was excellent last year. Let's not beat around the bush. They were excellent. They're going to be even better this year.
Well, that's what coaches always say. There's always room for improvement. Braylon pointing out part of that for a defensive side of things. In terms of the Big Ten East, we got his thoughts on where Michigan stacks up and what he sees from arguably the best division in college football.
It all's going to depend on quarterback play and offensive line play, man. I like what they're doing. They're headed in the right direction. Got some depth at lineman now. I like that. I'm seeing the physicality out of them, you know, so I like that. Defense is going to be good. So it'll come down to the usual four. You got Michigan State's pretty tough this year. Penn State, I think, lost a lot, so I think they'll rotate a little bit further down in that division. Old State's going to be Old State. So probably a three-headed race between Michigan, Michigan State, Old State.
There's a lot of talent down in Ohio, and no matter what happens with the coaching staff, that same talent's going to be on the field. So they're right now, as much as we don't want to hear it, they're the top dog, and until we knock them off, that's the way it's going to be. Michigan State with Coach D'Antonio, I don't know that there's a better guy that develops talent. The talent that he gets there and be able to perform on the field, 3-9 2 years ago, 9-3 last year, what an amazing step forward. And Penn State, Coach Franklin has done a great job of recruiting. So it's going to be up to us to take the bull by the horns and say, you know what, not anymore. The Big Ten East is going to be ours.
Jerry DiNardo was also with Braylon Edwards and the BTN crew. He shares his thoughts on where Michigan and the rest of the Big Ten East stacks up.
Well, I think you have to start in Columbus. Is Urban going to be with the team? We've been here. We've been to Penn State. I think Penn State and Michigan are fairly similar personnel-wise. I think Ohio State has more depth and more talent. We go to East Lansing tomorrow. I'm guessing their talent's going to be about like Michigan and about like Penn State. You know, it's going to be crossover games, head-to-head competition. You know, I think the way it's organized now, you know, we got to find a way to get into the college football playoffs, and the way the East is stacked, especially this year, you know, that's going to be a challenge.
It is going to be a challenge. I mean, it's arguably the toughest division in college football, and if you can't get out of there unbeaten, or if you can get out of there with one loss, it's going to speak volumes for the team that you are, and then obviously when you get to that Big Ten championship game. It's probably going to be Wisconsin coming out of the West Division, and it's going to be a rock'em sock'em game. So fortunately for us, we get a chance to see Wisconsin early in the season, and hopefully it's a preview for what Indianapolis will bring.
Yeah, it's a good measuring stick. Your thoughts on Braylon calling Ohio State O-State? I know you sometimes call them Ohio. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's tough because there's a lot of things that I call them off the air, but I can't say any of those. So it's usually whatever comes to mind that's not that is actually G-rated.
Yeah, there's a reason why this is a recorded podcast. from a positive standpoint, John, I think we have reached the point where I have to ask you an offensive line question before we go any further, and that'll transition us into our Twitter, text, and email segments. As always, you can get into the program like Spencer did on Twitter, at JohnJansen77 on Twitter. He says, you've been quoted as saying you're seeing phenomenal changes on the offensive line. Why should we fans believe this year's hype versus what we've heard over the past 5 to 6 years? What about this year's changes will translate on the field?
Well, I've seen them from winter conditioning through spring football, summer conditioning, and then in now fall camp. And I've seen the progression. I've seen them work with Coach Ed Warner, and I've seen all of the offensive staff really get back to basics, get back to the focus of, hey, this is where your first step has to be. This is your second step, your power step. This is where your hands have to be. And it's as specific as, hey, if I'm running an outside zone or I'm running a power, it's got to be your, you know, inside frame of the outside number, or it's got to be, you know, inside frame, inside number. That all makes a difference, because when you're combination blocking with other offensive linemen, you got to leave a little meat on the bone for your compadre to go ahead and take a bite. And that's what makes a good double team. And if that guy crosses your face, it's the good footwork that puts you in position to block him. And again, if there's no meat to chew on for your partner, he goes right up onto that linebacker. And it's all about footwork. It's about hand placement, hat placement. That's what I've seen as the great improvement, and these guys are going to continue to gain confidence in those techniques as we get closer to Notre Dame.
Can we get a dictionary for you just of offensive line terms? I mean, if there's no meat to chew for your partner there, I mean, that's gold, John.
Hey, that's the way we talk, and that's the way we eat, you know. Hey, we know what we know, and we put the two together, you get a great meal and great football.
Oh, that's excellent. More questions, you can text in 734-328-1760 like Matt did in Dexter. What's the scoop on the recent wide receiver and tight end departures? Maybe they saw the writing on the wall, he asks. Also, is there a concern that Michigan now has a shortage of pass catchers?
No, there's absolutely no shortage of pass catchers. And I think some guys, when they get into their careers at Michigan, they understand that they're not going to see the time that they expected. Their game hasn't developed to a point where they're going to be on the field. And they want to go ahead and pursue other opportunities. Maybe they can go to a smaller school and get more time on the field. You only get 4, maybe 5 years of college football experience. And some guys, they're more than happy to stay behind somebody and be ready when called upon. But they also get that Michigan education. Other guys, they still get a great education at some other schools, but they want to get on the field a little bit more. So, you know, no harm, no foul. If guys want to leave, I've got no issue with that. And we are definitely not going to be short at receiver or tight end, especially when you got a guy that's 6'8" in Zach Gentry. Yeah. There will be no shortness at that position.
That's for sure. Frank, via email, you can email us, MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. Frank says he hasn't heard much about the thumpers, the fullbacks, how they do this offseason. How are they progressing so far in camp? Can anybody have a breakout season like Khalid Hill from a couple of seasons ago?
Well, there's no question. I think when you look at the fullbacks, you've got Ben Mason, who's probably going to be the guy that you're going to see most of, a tough, physical, and a lot of guys will name him as the strongest guy on the football team. He'll go out there and play hard. Jared Wangler. Taking on a new position, just trying to get on the field. I think you're going to see a lot of him. Peter Bush, a great kid. I love watching him play football. There are a lot of different options that we have at that fullback position, and it's going to be led by Ben Mason.
Jim, via email, with all the new rules in effect regarding the elimination of two-a-day practices and some of the other things that the NCAA has done, how has that affected how the team has staggered the practices and really how the flow of fall camp has gone?
Well, they got a couple of extra days to be in there to make up for not having the two-a-day practices. And so coaches look at it as, how many times do we actually get on the field? How many times do we actually get to get on the field with pads on? And, you know, if you've gone from 24 days in previous years, and I don't know what the exact number is, but say you had 24 days, you may have had half of those of two-a-days. So now all of a sudden you've got 36 practices where you're on the field. Now if you have 30 days, but you're only allowed to be on the field in pads or have a physical practice each of those, you know, days, you're already down 6 practices. So coaches got to find ways to get walkthroughs in, to stand up in meetings and go through things so guys can actually visualize and see what the coaches are talking about. Because like we heard earlier, Mike McCray talking about Coach Brown, there are a lot of different ways that players learn. Some can just look at a chalkboard and say, I got it. Others have to actually physically see it on the field. And there's a lot of different ways that coaches are going to get that done because of the new rules.
And finally, a great way to wrap up our text, Twitter, and email segment. Lori via Twitter. What's your blazer going to look like this year?
That's high security. That might even be further down in the submarine than Jim Harbaugh's quarterback.
We're going to learn the answer to which one first, though, because you're going to wear that blazer, what, 6 a.m. around South Bend?
Yep, and you'll the windows will be down, the victors will be blaring, everybody's going to know who's coming to town.
Well, that's the Twitter, text, and email segment. Thanks to Spencer, Matt, Frank, Jim, Lori, you can get your questions in as well. Once again, the John Jansen blazer.
He's a dude. He's a flat-out dude.
That's you, John.
I'll take that anytime. Well, I want to thank Mike McCray, Braylon Edwards, Coach DiNardo, most of all Coach Brown for spending some time with me. Next week, we'll have Brandon Watson and Mike Zordich. We'll talk a little bit about what goes on at that corner position, guys being on an island, and why they have been so good since Coach Zordich has been in Ann Arbor. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. In the Trenches with John Jansen is an exclusive presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.